Okay, well, it's 3:45. Like any good project manager, let's finish on time, and maybe if you're good, we'll finish early. Thank you very much. I know it's been a long day, and really, thanks for coming. You're probably already getting quite a few PowerPoint, a lot of things to absorb. And this session, we're going to be giving you an overview of Microsoft Project Portfolio Management solution. And we'll be talking both about the on-premise product and also about Project Online, which is a new offer that's going to be come out with this next wave. My name is Christoph Eisinger. I work on the corporate marketing team based in sunny Redmond. And today I'm going to be co-presenting with Pradeep. And he's actually on the engineering team. And he's actually been one of the group program managers that has been shipping this great product we're going to be talking about. So you get a little bit of the best of both worlds from the marketing and the engineering team. So let's dive right in. And I promise, when Pradeep and I went on this preparation, we say, well, it's going to be the last slot on the day. We got to go easy on the PowerPoint and spend most of the time in the demo. So we should have, hopefully, 15 minutes of demo and a couple of slides. So I'll introduce what is the new project. Then we'll be doing demo, demo, demo. And then we'll give you a couple next steps, whoever your customers, whoever your partner, some of the key links to go learn more about this exciting new release. So let's talk about the new project. Before I show you the next slide, a couple of things I want to mention. We talk about the new Microsoft project because, as Jeff Teper, as we mentioned in the keynote this morning, this particular release, as Steve Ballmer announced in a July 16th back in San Francisco, when we announced the preview, we're leading with services. We're leading with online. And in the online world, there's no such thing as versions. That's why we didn't say, here's the new Project 2013. And that's what, for those of you that have looked at some of the press release, you heard about the new Office, the new SharePoint, the new Excel, the new Project Server. So when back in Redmond, after we shipped 2010, May of 2010, to be precise, alongside Office, alongside the new SharePoint, already back then, we tried to look in the crystal ball, but instead of looking at the crystal ball, we get a lot of feedback for some of you, meeting you at events, going at more specialized events like PMI events. Also, we get feedback from analysts, feedback from different channels. And those were the challenges we were already seeing a couple of years ago that drove the release we're going to be presenting. And really, we summarized those challenges. I mean, it could be a lot lengthier, exhaustive list. But basically, this day and age, whether you're in IT, whether you're in R&D, whether you're a partner, whether you're a customer, whether in Europe, whether you're in the US, whether you're federal, whether you're private sector, you expect to get things done anyway. And maybe there's still things going on back in the office. But more importantly, you're expecting things to be done on any device, whether it's a small screen, your favorite Windows phone, your favorite iPhone, your favorite Galaxy Android, whether it's a medium screen, a Surface, or a bigger screen like a PC or et cetera. The next thing we heard over and over from customers is setting up SharePoint, setting up Project is great, but I just don't have the time, nor I've got the budget to buy a couple servers, put it in a nice air conditioning rack, and maybe provide high availability. That marketing team, they get budget resource, the campaign starting tomorrow. They don't have time to wait for 6 months to set up the next version so they can execute on track work. Next thing we heard is, especially this day and age, where there's no such thing as infinite budget, whether in IT, R&D, it doesn't matter what sector you're in and what region, you want to make sure you're putting your money and your resources, especially if you're in IT, where you say you should be investing. If you say we're going to roll out a new version of an ERP system, if you're going to roll out a new CRM, if you're going to go online, you want to make sure you put your best and brightest. And that's not just for IT, same thing in R&D. You want to make sure your researcher, your PhDs, are investing in, let's say, the mission-critical drugs you want to develop to stay competitive, to stay agile against the competitors you get in the marketplace. And then last but not least, what we heard over and over is I want to get insights in terms of what people are doing. This is particularly true in IT, but it's the same thing everywhere. Same thing in marketing. You know, I'm in a marketing team where my manager wants to see what I'm doing, not just because he wants to see what I'm doing, but maybe if Christoph only allocated 20% to do this marketing campaign, or if Pradeep's working on this new version only at 80%, maybe with the other 20% for Pradeep or the other 80% for Christoph, maybe I can put him on that other mission critical project. Or maybe they're both allocated 100%, and maybe it's time to hire, I don't know, another SharePoint expert, another network expert, another PhD that has this particular competency that we're short of. So those are the business challenges we heard in the market. Here's the one marketing slide we got in this deck, which is presents the four key pillars, the value proposition of the new project. And basically, all the innovations, we put that in four buckets. The first thing is the new project. And when I say the new project, by the way, it's project, project server, on-premises, online. Think of the Uber Microsoft project portfolio management solution. First thing, it helps you take action. What do we mean by that? What we learn by looking at how people use our product, whether it's the desktop, whether it's a server, we've realized that not everyone's an experienced project manager that has been building aircraft wing, building airplanes for 20 years. There might be a young graduate from school that's, or there might be what we call the occasional or accidental project manager. So regardless of your maturity, you should be able to get things done, whether it's in the desktop, wherever it's in the web app. Second bullet I've already talked about, you should be able to get work done, whether you want a rich desktop experience or wherever you want a web app experience on your favorite device, anywhere. Second pillar, flexible PPM. We're going to be talking a lot about that today. Actually, we're going to be demoing a lot. But the notion on when we look at the product, the great asset we already have, which was Project Server, 2010, we had SharePoint, and we realized, same thing, there's no such thing as one way to manage stuff. There might be people that are using SharePoint Tasks to manage, let's say, maintenance requests. Well, that's fine, that's acceptable. But how about if that team, maybe tomorrow, maybe next year, they want to grow up, they want to use a little more rigorous methodology? How about if that team want to kind of use maybe a stage gate methodology to manage that constant intake of maintenance requests? And that's something we've delivered, and we'll be demoing that. Collaboration. You know, we've been built on top of a SharePoint app for many releases, and we didn't stop there. There was a lot of progresses and a lot of improvements, a lot of opportunity for improvements to deliver on that. And in this version, the first bullet that you're seeing here, improve communications, basically you've seen some of the social demo, we'll give you a glimpse, but we wanted to make it seamless. An example is, let's say I'm planning in the desktop. Let's say I'm planning in the web app on my favorite, whatever, an iPad. Maybe I'm about to assign a task. Wouldn't it be nice to IM Pradeep? Hey, Pradeep, I know you're free. I know you get a PhD in computer science. Can I assign you to this task before you do so, right? The gain in efficiency is tremendous. Discover and share information. You saw a glimpse in the keynote, if you attend the keynote, where when you start typing things, content appear, and there's some smarts about it. You know, hey, you're in marketing. Maybe you care about this new marketing initiatives or this marketing campaign that's done in this other region that maybe you want to leverage. Again, you're saying, Christoph, why is this important? Well, because, again, in the project portfolio management world, it's not just about task and work. It's about documents, about collaboration, it's about the people. At the end of the day, that makes things happen. So we deliver on that. And last but not least, about collaboration, the reason you're capturing all this data day in and day out is whether you're director, whether you're CIO, whether you're CEO, or everything in between, you want to get insights. Do you have the capacity, if you're in IT, to have enough engineers or any network engineers to stand up that data center we should build for this mission-critical R&D centers? If in your marketing, do you have enough resources to execute on those campaigns, not just financial, but maybe resources? Are things at risk? There's a big program that we've launched last year, is it slipping? Et cetera, et cetera. So you want to be able to get insights so you can make decisions, whether you're on track or whether you're slipping. So we deliver on that. And the last pillar, agility and control, is again, we want to put, like we've always done in many versions, but we want to make sure that you stay competitive whether it's on-premise or online. We want to make it easier for you to manage the project server or project online. And more importantly, we want to help you move forward faster in terms of innovation. And we'll talk about that a little bit in the slides. Before I go further, one thing I mentioned earlier at another session that I mentioned in all my sessions that I will really want to stress, and I'm trying to contain my excitement, and I've been saying that over and over. This is a historical moment for our business. Why? Because the engineering team, which Pradeep represent, and there's plenty of others, engineers that build this great release that are here at the conference, not with RTM, they're allowed to travel, they only work on one product from a code, from a branch perspective in Visual Studio. You know, they wrote a little C-sharp, little UI. And what you're going to see in the demo today, we're not doing an on-prem demo or an online demo. It's one product. They only ship one project server. One version get packaged as a DVD or ISO file. If you're an MSDN or TechNet subscriber, or if you're volume licensing, you can download the old-fashioned way the bits, and you can install it on a physical or virtual. The same bits also went online. We only ship one product, meaning, you know, the quality bar is there, but also the parity in terms of feature. You want to do resource management, you want to do timesheets, you want to do portfolio management, you want to do demand management, you can do that. It's the same product, total parity. Just because you go online or just because you go on-prem, there's no differences. And the other point I want to make on what's historical is by leading with online in this release, the pace of innovation, mark my word, the pace of innovation is going to go a lot faster. Why? Because we're going to learn. We're going to learn what's not working. We're going to learn what's maybe an issue. You know, I've been testing the preview with the engineering team for many months, and I've been pushing the system a little bit. And it's amazing, because back in the old days, I had to give someone access to prove it to them what was broken or what didn't work. Now, pretty much, I give them an ID, and they say, yeah, we know exactly what's the issue. And guess what? It wasn't just impacting you, but probably another 1,000 customers. That's if it's a bug, but it could be also a new feature. What's working, what's not working? The pace of innovation is only going to go faster, and this is a turning moment for our business. Enough talking. I promise there'll be lots of demos. So just to frame what we're going to demo, again, we're going to do a role-based demo with Pradeep. Typically, in the project portfolio management world, we talk about those four phases: create, select, plan, and manage. I'm just saying typically. I'm not saying you need all, but this is kind of the flow of execution typically in an organization. Create is all about the intake. Maybe I'm doing an ideation. Maybe I'm in IT and I'm getting change requests. Hey, do this, do that. You're my favorite IT guy. Can you add this app in my SharePoint? Can you add SP1? Can you go upgrade? Select, you know, you get this funnel of intake. At the end of the day, I got limited resources. I'm the CIO. I can only spare so many resources to go to SharePoint conference. I still have to keep business running back in the office. Or I'm in R&D. I only have so many engineers with those skills. So I got to make a decision. Out of all the requests that I keep getting from the business units, from all my customers, internal, external, I got to push back in a rational way. If we say we're going to expand in this new market, that's maybe where we should invest. If we say we got to improve shareholder value, or we got to improve employee satisfaction, we better put the money where we say we should. We better put the money where we say we should invest. Sorry, I'm getting carried away. So that's select. So I'm going to do those first two phases, and then Pradeep is going to say, "Okay, great. We got a funnel. We made a decision. Here's the 8 programs we're going to do next year. Whether we're in IT, marketing, whatever." Pradeep is going to show you then how there's a seamless transfer. You know, here, Pradeep, here's a budget, $1 million. You can have 10 engineers, a program manager. You can have a legal assistant who write all those patents for what you're going to develop. Here's the baton. Build a schedule, build a team, and start executing on it. So that's start planning. And then typically the last phase is this iterative process. As you start getting execution, what typically what we call in the project world actual work, people start putting our timesheets, they say I'm percent complete. You know, you start capturing risk and issues, and then you start adjusting, you know, the initial plan, because we know real life, it always changes, so you can stay competitive and agile and reactive, whether it's a IT program, whether it's an R&D program, whether it's a marketing initiative. This spans industry and customer size. We actually had our project conference last March in Phoenix, Arizona, and we talk about that traditionally, you know, IT's been pioneering this notion of project portfolio management. And there was very good reason for it. Same thing in the construction industry, you had that maturity just because of the capital expenditure. You couldn't make a small mistake because potentially it can ripple and it could cost you millions of dollars and you can go out of business. That was traditionally where it started. And the analysts typically talked about IT PPM. But guess what? Disney on H, it's not just IT managing mission critical, whether it's large or small. It's not just IT that has limited set of resources and limited set of budget. Same thing with my friends in marketing. Same thing with my friends in R&D. Same thing with my friends in the legal team. So the point I'm making is that's why we don't talk about IT PPM. We talk about PPM in general. And you also, you can read some of that trend. You know, it's not just Microsoft saying this. Some of the leading analysts out there are talking about that as well. Okay, so that's the frame set for the demos. Let's go dive into the demo. So let me switch computer. Oops. No one saw that. Just to set expectation, that's a good reminder that we've had network issues here at the venue, and we do have a plan B, which is show you screen captures. I know it's not going to be terribly exciting, but maybe, you know, if knock on wood, we won't have to reside to that. But the demo I'm going to be doing, I'm actually, you know, whereas this morning Jeff was running in a data center in Europe, our data center is actually running in Singapore. So, you know, it's got to cross a little bit of land. It's definitely got to go underwater and then somewhere in Singapore across the Pacific. So what you're looking at is Project Online. Remember I just told you, the engineering team only ship one product. So if you install a project server that our RTM, which is available, you'll get the same user interface. What's the difference? It's the URL. So let me show you that. You know, first of all, I got a little 365 logo, which I wouldn't get if I'm on-premise. And then the other telltale side beside the URL, so I wasn't very creative, I call it po3.sharepoint.com. But another telltale sign, that I'm online is, in online, it's all about a suite of services. And you can see for this particular demo that we're doing, I've signed up for all the services. I've turned on all the lights in the Christmas tree. Give me the green, the red, whatever. Everything. So I got all the Outlook, which is think of Exchange Online. People, think of Link Online, so I can do presence and conferencing. And then Newsfeed, SkyDrive on sites. That's just the standard SharePoint Online love we get by being a SharePoint app. So that's the vanilla look and feel of the new project. You probably, the first thing you notice is the green tile in the middle. Remember, I told you earlier, we want to help you get started. In the online world, the paradigm, if you're signing up for a trial, not of the preview, but of the commercial service that's been available since June of last year, you had a 30 days window to try it for free, meaning we, Microsoft, if we can convince you in 30 days, in a small proof of concept, whatever you're going to be doing with it, that you can get value of the platform, then we fail. And maybe you go to a competitor, maybe you stick to Excel or whatever it is, or you stick on-prem. So that's why, you know, we really want to make sure that you get started quickly so you can get value of the platform. So we build this carousel. Again, it's not, well, carousel is not specific to project. If you, for those of you, slow down, Christoph, that have tried the new SharePoint or that paid attention to the keynote this morning, you've seen the carousel on SharePoint sites as well. And in the project world, obviously, we've tailored that a little bit to the project portfolio management world. And the first tile we expose is probably the very first thing you want to do is you want to bring data. You want to bring scheduling data into your web app. Maybe you want to bring some MPPs that are laying around in a file share. Maybe you want to bring work that's being captured in a task list, or maybe you just want to start from scratch. The next style, use report and gain insight. As soon as you get a little bit of data, you want to start slicing and dicing. You want to look at those rubies, those diamonds, or trouble. You know, am I short on resources? Do you have a lot of risk on this big program, et cetera, et cetera. The next tile on the carousel is about share your site. Now, there's a little bit of a peek this morning in a demo, which is it's not just about, let's say, the engineering team or IT. Maybe there's a friend in finance that needs to look at our execution because maybe I'm doing a chargeback and I need to make sure everyone abides by the financial rules, whatever region we're doing chargeback. Very quickly, in one click, I can bring people within my organization, but probably more importantly, especially for those of you who are customers or even partners, they might be that one specialist, you know, the graphic designer that's freelance that needs to give me insight on how he's tracking on a set of to-dos. So very quickly, I can bring that external folks that might not be part of my active directory, but still, they got to give me visibility on how they're tracking on a set of to-dos, set of tasks that I've given that person. More features is all about, you know, out of the box, you know, here we've already put a data, but this list of functionality is actually a lot shorter. And we realize maybe some of you have already used our product. Maybe some of you have prior versions. Maybe some of you have a pretty high maturity because you use either other competitors, you use Project Server, or just because you know your prints too, you know how to do portfolio analysis, you know how to do timesheets. And this link will take you to more information if you want to do some of those more advanced project portfolio management capabilities. Your site, your brand, is actually a standard tile that you see also on a site carousel in any SharePoint site. And it's all about, as its name implies, you can change the look and feel, change the name, you can put a pretty picture in a couple clicks. The last tile, I will talk about it when I'll wrap up the demo, but basically it was touched upon in the keynote this morning, pardon me, which is we get this new notion called the app model. And I'll get back to when we're going to wrap up the demo and how is this going to take you even further, much quicker in terms of innovation and really using or leveraging the capabilities of the tool to refit whatever is your need, whatever is your maturity. The carousel at the bottom is all about me, the individual. In this case, I'm logged in as a project manager, so I can see all the projects that I manage. I can already see I get a little bit of approval that some of my team members have submitted, and because I'm also a resource manager, I can approve or reject. You can see I've been busy pumping data in my demo tenants. I got 100 tasks that I get to work on. And then last but not least, I can have my own view of the world, my own report that I care about on all the stuff that I'm managing in this PPM application. So let's start the demo. By the first demo I want to do in the create stage, I want to show you how we can model an intake of requests. And there's different ways to do that. And one way is I can create a site. Another way is I can bring a good old-fashioned Microsoft project plan that I have on premises. Maybe, you know, I didn't use a PPM solution yet, so I got a lot of MPPs lying around and on all the PCs that my project manager have. Another way, which is that we enable in this version, is we're fully aware that a lot of people out there, a lot of customers, use SharePoint to manage work. Maybe, and that's totally fine. You know, managing work in a SharePoint list is totally acceptable. But wouldn't it be nice if you get dozens of teams across multiple sites, parent-child relationship, to potentially, in a couple clicks, in that single site collection, to have a peek in terms of what everyone's doing. Not just because you want to be a big brother and see what they're doing, but more importantly, you want to be two steps ahead. Do you have enough capacity to deliver on all those IT requests I'm constantly being asked to deliver? Is Pradeep triple allocated because he's already committed to this program for his IT friend, he's also working on the new ERP platform, on the CRM online. In a couple of clicks, I can see that. Here I put a little bit of data. What this does is automatically it discovers all the subsite in the site collections that have a task list. And for each site, I can have multiple task lists, right? In the SharePoint world, by default, it's called task, but if one was called requests, if it was called innovations, it was called to-dos, I would see that on the drop-down list. So it's not just one task list on every site, it could be multiple. Before I do that, I'm going a little too fast, I want to show you what that maintenance request team is actually doing. So to do that, one of the great ways to do, navigate to the site is you can go to site and you know you can bookmark your favorite sites, and if I scroll down there, I get the maintenance team right there. So I'm going to click on the maintenance team, one of the sites I'm following, kind of like the Facebook paradigm a little bit. So here I created a maintenance team. I tried to make it look like a maintenance team. I put a background image of Halo 4, by the way, that just shipped last Tuesday. And that team, that's okay. They're using task list and to manage maintenance requests. So in this case, I was not being very creative. I look on TechNet for SharePoint database tasks. So DBCC, Alter Index, I apologize for the non-technical audience, but this is all the good, all the vitals you should do as a good doctor or as a good hygiene on your SharePoint content database. And you know, that team is using that, and that's okay. And I'm going to call it a PPM task. You can see that I've already done another demo. And maybe I'll do that when I get back in the office. I can really just enjoy the week, and I'll do my maintenance, my PPM task when I go in the office. I can put a duration. Let's put, I don't know, a couple days. And this one, let's assign it to Pradeep. By the way, I'm just one of the cool, very nice feature in SharePoint is the ability to do inline editing. You know, I don't have to go post back, reload the page. I can add a lot of tasks here. I just did one, but I've kind of pasted tasks from Excel, which is also a very common tool to manage work. So here I've just added one. I'm going to stop editing. And again, that team is using the site day in, day out. It's probably the bookmark, their homepage when they come in the morning and we start typing request, or maybe it's you as business users, maybe you get a little InfoPath front end that's a little customized and you say, you know, here's another request for the SharePoint team to do on our marketing site, whatever finance site, whatever site we got within our organization. I've created a request. Now, keep that in mind, and I'm going to go back to the potentially that control tower called the PMO, or Project Online, or Project Web App. And what I showed you initially is I can easily bring data by just clicking at SharePoint site. So again, it discovers all the subsite that have one or many task lists. And here's the maintenance request. I'm just going to click add, but I could have checked all the work. Think of maybe you get 1,000 subsite. I would do that. And I click OK. It takes a couple seconds. From there on, the control tower, whether it's the PMO in IT, whether it's the PMO for Contoso, whether it's the PMO for marketing, or whatever you want, or the Agile PMO, the Prince2, it could be methodology or by region, sky's the limit. I will get insights of that team using task lists. And it's not just insights about the work we're doing, which could be important, you know, what phases, what milestones, what are they delivering, are they late? So you see now, my maintenance request is appearing here on my control tower where I'm managing all the work. You can see I can look at the same task I've entered, et cetera, et cetera. I think I've switched. I've clicked on the wrong site. Yeah, I'm not showing you I've got another site. But pretend it was the team that was matching all those database maintenance task, and it's not just viewing scheduling, what people are doing, it goes a step beyond that. Because like I say, probably what you're after is not so much what are they delivering, and you trust your maintenance team to handle the maintenance request. What you care about is our friend Pradeep allocated 20% so that I can use his 80% availability to put him on this
Project Online Migration, or this rolling out the new exchange, etc. So I've already selected, you can see I've got an extensive demo data set, and I've selected Pradeep and a couple others, and I'm just going to click on Resource Availability, and you can see suddenly I got a lot of work going on from all the resources. And so it's not just about getting scheduling information. I do see the assignments from all the folks in my organization. So that's one way to manage the intake. That team is still executing work in a SharePoint task list, but the control tower could get an insight. But wait, there is more. So let me go into another subsite. And this subsite is called the ideation subsite. It's called the ideation, but think maybe if you're in IT, it could be the maintenance request site. And this is maybe where all the business users, the one-stop shop to submit a maintenance request for SharePoint, or a maintenance request for Exchange, or a maintenance request for their desktop or their ticketing system. In this case, I call it ID because we also, it's the same scenario if you're doing managing innovation, whether you're in R&D and IT, you say, hey, everyone here in the room, tell me where you want to have the holiday party next month. Where should we do have the team offsite on? Everyone puts an ID. In this case, I've already structured the data. Not only you submit an ID, but you got to sweat it a little more. You got to say, why should we do this ID? And more importantly, you got to start putting a cost on a benefit. This is just an example. You want 20 columns, you want a beautiful info path, you can do whatever you want. This is a standard SharePoint item list. So I'm just going to do, I got a PPM ID. I'm just going to pull a description. And yes, you can put validation in the list. I'm going to assign it to, let's pick on Pradeep. And I've got to put a cost, let's say, you know, $1,000. And maybe we're going to say, I don't know, $50 million. On the benefit estimate, I've got to give a risk. And that's it. I'm going to stop editing. It takes a couple seconds. You can see the wheel. It's validating the data. And then again, if I'm in ideation, I can do potentially, you know, everyone votes, hey, we should have the company meeting, or this is a great idea, and I can have further business rule, standard SharePoint capabilities. You know, if more if five people give it a four-star rating on a weekly basis, then maybe it's deemed, you know, maybe we should look at it because we think we're onto something. So I've entered an ID, and what's new is you can select that ID. You go in an item tab, in the ribbon, sorry, in SharePoint, and because that list, at the back end, we get what we call the Project Web App Service, I get this new button called Create Project. What this does is I'm capturing those requests, those ID in a SharePoint list. I can now push those requests, those great IDs, to the control tower for further evaluation. All those IDs, how does it align with what we say we should do? This great request from my business user in France is that, you know, how is that stack against other priorities we might have? And this is what you're seeing here in this little screen is I can start mapping the data I've captured in the list item to data that I've already defined in my control tower in the Project Web App. And then it goes a step further. One thing we introduced in Project Server 2010 is we fully realize it's not just about one methodology. It's not just one type of work going in the system. It's a rainbow of things. One of them could be a simple one-stage gate, approve, reject. Some of it could be like an R&D, could be a five phases, 20 stages, multi-level approval, and anything in between. Some of them could be following some agile methodology, some of it could be waterfall, whatever you want. So that's what you're seeing in a drop-down list. We can model each one of those. In this case, I got potentially, I can say this ID is actually a new product because we're doing an ideation scenario. So I picked that. I just hit Create Project. Automatically, what it does is all that data I've captured on that item in that list gets pushed to the control tower, to the PMO using Project Online. But wait, there is more. It just doesn't get blindly pushed. In the control tower, let's show you what happens. So here it got pushed. And one more thing. Yes, I could automate this. I'm just doing one. You want to do 20 or you just want to automate the handshake between the capture of the request to the decision that I'll show you next, you can do that. This is standard SharePoint item list, and you can put a workflow on any item list. A lot of great workflow sessions, including one on Wednesday morning, where some of my colleagues are going to be showing you that. So I've pushed one up to that control tower so that the business case can be refined, and more importantly, the control tower, the PMO, can make a decision whether this idea against all the other things we say we should do, is it worth our time? And so I go back to the control tower, and again I click to my project center, and here I can see the intake of all the stuff I've entered, and you can see the PPM ID. When you say, Christoph, it just looks like a line item. It does look like a line item here. When I click on it, you're going to see that from there on, I've entered an ID. From there on, I'm following the standard methodology I've defined for new product development. And in this case, it's driven by a workflow. I know exactly what I need to do next. I can look at, you know, I'm only stage one, and it's 11 stages to go from inception, I have a great idea, to delivering a final product, to doing a postmortem. I'm not going to click through every stages. You know, unfortunately, we don't have time, but I'll just give you a glimpse on how this flows. So I got an idea. You know, I can typically I've initiated a request. Maybe it's a business user, and maybe me, who has expertise, I need to do a business case. Maybe I do a risk assessment. Maybe I need to do a detailed cost and benefit analysis. In this case, I already know that this workflow, I only need, in the very first stage, I need to submit it for approval. There's lots of approval in this particular demo that we did. You can see the toast right here, workflow in process. And, you know, I'm going to cheat a little bit, but potentially it's someone with higher authority. It wouldn't be me approving it, but here in this case, it's me. So I go to workflow approval, and here's all the workflow tasks, standard list you would do if you were doing a document workflow. And if we scroll to the list, you can see I've done a lot of demos. I just strike it as complete. I'm going to approve it. I'm going to be good to Christoph, or Pradeep. Let's pretend it's Pradeep that submitted it. And suddenly this ID now is moved on to the next stage, right? You can see here you go. Now things change. I've done here. Now I'm in the define stage. Define in this particular demo, you can see now the UI adapts where I'm at, so I can't game the system and cheat. You know, I really got to follow that rigorous methodology I've defined. In this case, in the define stage, it wasn't just about giving a description. I got to put a little more information. Has this ID going to help our team? Is this idea going to help our company? So that's what we're doing here with strategic impact. You know, I got to put in a rating. How does it impact what we say we should be doing as the next fiscal or next 5 years? And typically people say, Christoph, can you cheat the system? Like, let's just submit it. Because, you know, I'm too lazy. I don't want to do a full-blown business case. And sure enough, there's a lot of smarts. Out of the box, it says, Christoph, you didn't do your homework. You got to build a business case. You got to do a rating, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not going to show you every step. You can configure that without a single line of code. But wait, there is more. Typically, it's not just about saying this great idea, how does it align with what we should be doing, or what is the financial impact. Maybe, let's say if I'm in R&D, maybe this idea, someone who's got expertise got to give a top-down estimate of what would it take to build this, execute on this ID. And actually, I'm going too fast. Hang on. No, I was doing right. So what we introduced in 2010 that you can also do in 2013 is you get the notion of modeling top-down resource request. So in this case, pretend I'm an executive. I don't know who's going to be working. I just know I need a legal assistant, you know, to maybe write the patent for this new product we're going to be developing. I need a marketing managers to bring it to market, etc. So I've selected a couple generic resources because think of the executive. I don't know yet who's going to be doing it. I just know a rule of thumb what I need. And from there on, I'm going to define how many FTEs I need per month, per week, depending on what I want. I'm doing the top-down business case. What would it take to execute on this? I don't know yet who's going to be doing. I just know at the high level, rules of thumb on past experience, what I need. So I would do that. Again, I'm not going to click through every stage. Probably at the end, when I've captured the business case, financial data, reasons, it could be document, and more importantly, what I think at the high level are the team required to deliver on that. At the end of the day, we're going to meet on a quarterly basis, or you know, we're in November, maybe we're doing the fiscal planning for what we're going to be doing January onward. So we get now all the requests. So all each line item is what I showed you, and then everyone's done their homework, they build a business case, they put in the requirement. You're looking at here a company we acquired a couple years ago that in 2010 we blended a user interface that helps you make decisions on all those requests are very aligned with what you say you should be doing as a team, as a department, or as an organization. And that's what you're looking at here. We got 20 programs, 20 big bets, let's say we want to do in IT, or we want to do in R&D, or we want to do for our company as a whole. Those 23 requests would require $19 million, plus some change. So in real life, how about if we get half of that? So you start doing what-if analysis. What if our budget got cut in half? You know, it could have been less. And the system, here's when you tip in 2013. You can, if you want more real estate and you want to collapse the left-hand bar, you click here, upper right corner. Here we go. It collapses the navigation. I get a little more real estate. And, you know, automatically the system, based on what we call the priority score, which is, remember that form where I say, is this idea going to help us with penetrate new market, employee satisfaction? That's how we calculate that. So the systems automatically say, hey, you know, some of those projects weren't as good, and that's why they were kicked off based on this constraint. Constraint could be cost, it could be risk, it could be cost and risk, whatever. There's a lot of, we've written white papers on the math, on the all the algorithm behind this. And the next question I get, especially from IT, actually from anywhere, is can I game the system? Or I shouldn't say game, but you know, let's say we need to do the data parsing tool. I don't know, for regulatory compliance, our legal team say, you know, we got to do it. And yes, I can force things in, right? And I can recalculate, and automatically the system say, okay, based on that constraint plus that one you need to do, here's potentially the 13, the 12 projects you can do. Typically, at the end of the day, our customers, whether it's pharmaceutical, IT, and you know, I'm going to start saving those what if. What if with data parsing tool? You get the idea. And typically, over a period of time, I'm going to do different what if. And yes, I can compare those scenarios. The beauty here is, whether you're in IT, whether you're in R&D, whether you're using this in marketing, it gives you a transparent way to not only all agree on how you make decisions, but let's say you're pushing back on some of those initiatives, you can say, it's not that we don't love you, but your request just didn't make, based on the constraints we have, in this case, it's a cost constraint, the top 12. Maybe we'll revisit it next quarter. Maybe we'll revisit it next year. And typically, the next thing you care about is not so much, you know, do I meet that first constraint, typically financial, but more importantly, do you have the resources to deliver all those 12 initiatives we say we should be doing as an organization? And that's the next step here where we say analyze resources, where in this case, let me refresh. Looks like my UI is a little messed up here. Here we go. I only had 12 selected initially that met my budget, but guess what? I can only do 10, meaning I'm short on some resources. Remember, I show you briefly, you can also do, you can already do the top-down planning. I need a project manager for 6 months. I need a legal assistant part-time for 3 months. So automatically, the system does the reconciliation between, here's the top-down request in terms of FTE, but we also know the capacity that you get. We know the Pradeeps of the world that has, you know, that's a legal assistant that has those specific skills. And that's how we calculate the delta. And that's why we're saying you can only do 10 because there's a shortage and a deficit. I'm not going to show you the reports and the detail, but basically when you're at this phase and you're trying to make a decision, there's two dimensions. Either you're modeling hiring people, whether it's full-time employee, or hiring you as a partner just to get you over that surge of demand, or the other way to still meet the demand, and you say, dear marketing, we love you, but I know you want the project to start ASAP, but right now we're short of a project manager. Can you just start in January so everyone's happy, and because we have a hiring freeze, for instance, and we cannot get any other full-time employee to work for you. So that's why you would do start doing this, and you know I can model the hire resource, et cetera, recalculate. You're going to see those projects get selected. Hold that round trip pick in my Singapore data center. And typically at the end of the day, you're going to save this and say, yeah, we agreed on that. You know, on this, pardon me, November 12th, it's 10 million with 2 FTE. And yes, we figure out automatically what type of FTE, what type of skills we need. And I save that and I commit that. Because obviously, as things change, you want to revisit. What was that decision we made on November 12th? And maybe it was a good decision back then, but if we forward ourselves in January, maybe we get a new competitors, things change, internal, external, we acquire a company, and we need to adapt. So at least you get the traceability of what decision you made on when, and then you can use that potentially as a baseline to revisit a decision. Typically, at the end of the day here, is I've saved it, I'm going to hit commit, and when you go back to your project, all the projects that have been selected are going to move forward in whatever workflow they've been driven. At this stage, you know, I've shown you the create, I can model an intake, I've shown you the selection, and one quick thing that I want to show you very quickly while Pradeep is coming on stage is, has the glue, how do we do all this? In 2013, the beauty that the engineering team has delivered on, you do all this with SharePoint Designer. If you've never heard of SharePoint Designer, think of a graphic designer where you can build a workflow, whether it's a one stage, whether it's a 20 stage, five phase, whether it's agile, waterfall, hybrid, whatever you want. And it's a visual tool. So here I'm going to open workflow. Basically what it does, it goes from this PC here on this podium in Las Vegas, it talks to our data center in Singapore, it retrieves all those methodology, all those processes I've defined, it retrieves the data, and what I want to show you, right before I pass it on to Pradeep, I'm going to edit that workflow. You say, Christoph, takes a little while to get all that data down the wire, it's retrieving the data, and yes, you can do that on premise, so yeah, and I've got my initiate stage, and you can see here, I've got approved by the project manager what I was showing you, and then there's different rules, different exceptions. If certain numbers are hit, maybe I want to do auto-reject or auto-approve, whatever. So that's one way to do this. This is a graphical designer. But wait, there is more. There's a visual designer. For those of us that are more graphic-orientated, we've also added the rich visualization from Visio 2013, and here we go, I can get a lot more graphic way, what is the rule of engagement for this particular methodology, and this is one, I could have 20, from the very simple to the very complex in my organization, and people ask me, Christoph, can you also change things in the visual designer? Yes, I can change things. How much easier does it get? There's a session on this topic Wednesday morning. Okay, so back to you, Pradeep.
Number. Awesome.
Which number?
Three. It's loading up. If this doesn't load, by the way, my computer went to sleep and it's waking up. I can do the same demo on his machine when this is waking up. I know. Hopefully, you guys are all awake. So let's do this. Maybe we'll just switch back to this when that wakes up. Yeah, just sign out. Sign back in.
No.
Yeah, just go back to site. It's good. Yep. I got it.
You got it?
Yeah. So, 203 on Microsoft.com. So it's the same exact place I'm logging in. And let's click on my newsfeed. And this is how I start my day. So again, that's okay. Can you hear me fine? Okay. There are two things I'm going to talk about today, which is plan and manage. So Christoph talked to you how requests come into the system and they get selected. Now let's figure out how to plan for it, right? That's also me. I try to be the no-nonsense project manager, but often find that I don't have control over my machine, over my people. In fact, Christoph keeps assigning me tasks. I don't even have control over my co-presenter. I got like about 15 tasks assigned to me over the last 30 minutes. So that's me, a project manager, trying to get stuff done. So let me walk around. So this is my news feed. I chat a lot. I get excited about my new Lumia. And I can see everybody chatting about this. I try to blog about agile teams and try to inspire my team members to look at agile methodologies. But at the end of the day, people want something super simple to go and do. So the reason I was showing you all this is, as a project manager, because of SharePoint, I have this rich way of pretty much talking to people. All the social interactions apply to project management as well. But the core problem remains the same. How do I influence people to start putting some more rigor to the projects that they're doing? They're tracking it in Excel, they're having it in email. How do we do that, right? So let me show you one thing that I've done, one project that I've worked on, and it's the health assessment reporting tool. And that seems to be going a little fine. And Christoph showed a site just like this before, so let me bring that up. Believe it or not, this is a project site, right? So you typically, when you see a site, this is a project site. Again, I'm repeating some of these things, but bear with me. I'm going to import it and show you how it all comes together. There is a nice timeline. There are some quick information right there. The site is very customized. It's a little gaudy. I'm not a designer, but it's customized to the team's needs. There is a nice news feed specific to this project. There are some documents. Jeff Deeper showed you how to drag and drop it. There is a mailbox, team mailbox associated with this. And there is also a notebook. By the way, all of these things that I'm showing are not things that you need to remember to add. When you create a project site, all of these things are added by default for you. So there is a notebook here. It loads up. And this is a very, I'm showing a notebook in a project demo, right? What's that? But that's a very common need. We do that all the time. I do that all the time in my work. I have meetings. Where do I go, put the meeting notes for this meeting, one of six? Go to the project site, open this OneNote up, copy, paste it, start typing. So everything is in one place. So one of the main advantages of this is to have people keep coming back to the project site. So they start using it, right? So they start buying into this vision of, oh, if we have everything in one place, it's easy to keep track of. And you can share one click, just like Christoph showed. I want to add Christoph this. I just type Christoph here. I can add him. By default, it's contribute. I can change that to full control if I want and hit OK, done. So simple, right? So this is tier one. Think of it as tier one. Make people start using things in a consistent way, coming back to the same project site. And then tier two is, as the project manager, I want to control it a little bit. I want to put some more rigor onto this. And in fact, if I go to my news feed, Christoph has already kind of started telling me, this work stream has grown like crazy. Can we do something about it? So let's see what we can do about it. So I go to the same site, and conceptually, I want to open this site in project and, take a baseline maybe, do some resource analysis, critical path analysis, right? You would want to do that. The way you do that is not search for where this project is, not open this MPP. All you need to do is go to the task list, which stores all these tasks. Christoph showed you that. Go to the list ribbon section, click on open with project. That's it. Click on this. We take care of where to store these projects. You don't need to think about it. We will put it in the site assets library, and you just need to click on this yes button. It'll open it in Proj. Maybe it'll ask me to log in at this time. If I'm already logged in, it'll just use my currently logged on credentials, which is what it's doing. So as you can see, it's loading it from the site assets library. The first time you open it, we will store it there. And then project opens up, and you can see that it should have the same timeline as what you saw on the web. So it's two-way sync. And you have the full power of project here. You can create a report. You can, for example, so it's actually syncing. So whenever I save this project, it'll sync it. Then I can close the project and be confident that all the data is stored in the list. So this is tier two, where your team lives in the project site, simple to use, easy to share, timeline. And then you as a project manager can come in and do something like, you know, you can quickly filter on just Christoph's and Jan's tasks, for example. You can go to report and do a, you know, I want to do a project overview dashboard. You know, all the client capabilities which are new in 2013, in the new project, are available. You can go ahead and do this is the team planner view. You may be familiar with some of these things which are available in 2010. You can do all of that, and all of that gets saved in the project and gets synced to the task list. So that's power right there. So that's tier two. And then tier three is the grow up that Christoph showed you. So let's actually look at it once more. So let me go and go to the PWA site. So let me click on this, go to the projects site. So let me put some context, right? So imagine you have 50 of those projects, right? That's the whole scenario. You have 50 of those projects, kind of people are interested in those sites. They do that, and now you have to grow them up. Christoph already showed it to you. So let me put it in context a little bit so you know exactly what's happening. So let me set it up. So let me go ahead here and delete one of the projects so you can actually, so the demo is nicely set up. The maintenance requests that he did. Let's go ahead and delete the project for now. And then I'll show you why I did that. So let that go ahead. Let's go to the resources view. This is where it pops. So we have selected two resources, Christoph and Pradeep. Let's look at resource availability, right? So if you look at it, you see the line here, right? You see the line here? Things seem to be okay, right? So let's even make sure by going, so all I'm doing here is switching the view, so you'll see by project. So you see that Christoph and Pradeep are assigned on the pink and the orange, which is the partner help desk and the e-campaign to bloggers. This is all the PMO knows. But Christoph and Pradeep have also been working on this health assessment reporting tool, the red gaudy site that you saw before, which is kind of on the side. And we do want to put it in, and that's where it starts. I mean, people, the project manager for the e-campaign project kind of keeps complaining, why is Christoph not delivering on those tasks on time? It's because they're working on some other project. And because that project kind of ballooned, now we want to bring it back into the system for visibility, right? So let's do what Christoph did. So remember this screen, so I'll leave it in here. Let's open a new tab and go to the PWA site. And let's do exactly what Christoph did, which is create or import projects. And you can do it, by the way, from one or two places. The trial is the simplest way to do that. Add existing SharePoint sites to Project Web App. And then let's go ahead and choose the health assessment reporting tool and click Add. So it's exactly what he did. So we are creating your projects, and it'll take some time for it to create the projects. And basically what's happening is, so remember this, you still want the health assessment reporting tool people to have control over their projects, right? Suddenly they don't want to come in one day and see, oh, everything is read-only, things have been taken over. That's very disruptive. What we've done in tier three, we're very conscious of that disruption. So what we've done is control will still remain at the project site, but you will get visibility at the project web app level. So I'll show you what's going to happen. So let's go back to projects here, and let's see if the import went through. So you do see it, health assessment reporting tool showing up here. and you see that it has some issues and risks. If people have used PWA, all the issues and risks from that site also roll up nicely. Let's go back to this resource availability and refresh this page. I'm just refreshing this page. You will now see why Christoph and Pradeep weren't delivering on their tasks, because they do not have availability. They are overbooked. This in itself, let me make sure that sinks in. This is the reason why it may be useful for you to consider Project Online and Project Server, to get visibility into what's going on across the board. To be fair, you don't want to grow up all the projects in the system. You want to only grow up those which you think have ballooned or you want some visibility on it. Yeah, so three tiers of project management. So you can see the dark blue is the new one, and the dark blue is health assessment reporting tool. Let me zoom it a little bit. So that's kind of how it works. And just to finish this up, just to make sure I'm telling the right thing, let me go back to this health assessment reporting tool, which is this website. It is still read-write. You can click here and edit it. You can say resources, edit, all good. You will still get visibility at the project web app level, right? Now, there are other things that happen after this grows up, and Christoph touched on it. I'm not going to go into details on that. You can obviously also have top-down projects. You can edit a schedule like Christoph showed you, and all that is possible. Let me open one of those projects very quickly. So just the reason I'm showing this is, the question may be, so it's great that we can grow up projects, but can you actually have top-down projects available in that tier three as well, which have all this governance? Absolutely. All those projects will reside side by side, which is the interesting part. You see health reporting tool here, and any of those other top-down projects that Christoph was talking about are also available in the same place. So let's take acquisition target analysis. Let's take this for example. You will have them side by side. And if this is a project which is top down, then you can edit the schedule on the web as well. So it's either or. You can either have control at the project site, or you can have control at the project web app level. So for example, I can go here and edit this project. And now the scheduling engine will come into place. So in SharePoint, if you start putting tasks, it's not going to tell you that, oh, this is actually blowing away your schedule. But when you're doing it in Project Web App, like I'm doing here, if you change this to, say, 10 days, boom. You immediately see all these green things that are showing up. So the brain now comes into picture, which is available in Project Web App, and it's actually telling you, as and when you edit the dates, what's happening to the entire project. So you have the power, you have the choice. It's on your terms. That's the whole point of the plan that we've done in the new project. So three tiers: tier one, SharePoint site; tier two is open it in Project Professional; tier three is enterprise projects, which have two flavors. One is visibility, one is top down. Good. Now let's look at manage. So once you have a whole bunch of projects, how do you manage it? And Christoph touched on this, so I'm going to go easy on it and spend some more time on reporting. So in news feeds, the main way to manage tasks for simple projects is here. You come to My Tasks, you see a timeline, Christoph talked about it. You come here and you can start checking things off. You can also do it via timesheets. Again, you have the choice. If you want to do it via simple tasks, you can, and that's the most easy way to do it. But if you want to put some more rigor on it, and if you want to actually have a timesheet with remaining work and actual work, some people were asking yesterday at the booth, can you do it by week? You can do it by week. Can you do overtime work? You can do that. So if you want all the bells and whistles of tracking time, we have a solution for that. It's called timesheets. Click on timesheets. You can start filling time. So the whole point is, you don't need to leave the tool of your choice. You do it at your own pace, and you are in control of how to do this adoption. So this is a timesheet app. You see actual and plan, as you can see. And there are all these projects. So I've grouped it by projects. And then you can also have non-project time that you can report on it. So let me go give you a list of options so you'll see what I'm seeing here. So you can look at planned work, overtime work, totals. You can have non-billable versus billable work. You can change group by to no group, and that's totally fine. And you will see all the project tasks. And the bottom, this is very important, you will see non-project work as well, which is important. So when you think about, so this is where the enterprise top-down tracking comes into play. If somebody wants to report some time on ticketing, they can do that. Vacation, they can do that. So we project handles that. So a very robust time tracking solution built in. Of course, you also want to do reports, right? So the way you do reports is we have some reporting. Christoph talked about some of these. OData is the way we expose our data, so you can report using familiar tools like Excel. So I'll show you some of the out-of-the-box reports we have. And it's very easy to customize some of these. So I clicked on reports, I went to English, and I'm going to open the project overview dashboard. And this dashboard, to be fair, like we put this together in around 5 to 10 minutes. There's already a template. You open the template, and you can customize, I customize the chart type and so on. And by the way, it works on the web. And it gives you a clear idea of, what is, so this is task work by project name, so how much work is in every project, so you can see that quickly. And this is assignment work, and this is count of tasks. A quick overview of all your projects. Now, this is too confusing. You just want to drill down on a few projects. Just check those projects. Live. The report changes. You get a quick idea of what's going on. And by the way, not just one chart changed. All three charts changed based on what you picked. This is very powerful. Again, we take advantage of Power Views. This is a Power View built into Excel, and Excel services available in Office 365. You want to edit this, edit it in Excel, change it, and it's you can pretty much save it, and anybody else who comes in will see the new report. Now, with reports, always the question is, it's smoke and mirrors. Like, how do you really do this from scratch? I'm not going to go and do everything from scratch, but I'll show you how. I'll also show you, there is this a section called data connections. So what we've done is we have put all the key data connections out here for you. So when we say, data, what does that mean? Do I need to go, custom code this this URL to like go access that data? We have done that for you. All you need to do is click on one of these. In this case, let me just click on, say, the project's data, right? Click on this. It'll open Excel. All the connections are made. You will see the connection and the data. So it just comes as a table. You can choose it to come as a pivot table if you want. And all you need to do at this point, data is there for you. And from here on out, you can just go ahead and insert a recommended pivot table. In fact, Excel will recommend a pivot table for you. You can pick one, hit OK, great, and then insert. You want a chart? Recommended charts. What charts do you want? So this is the power of Excel and Excel services. And you can, I want a line chart. This looks good. Put it in. And then save this as a report and see it on the web. So in literally a few minutes, you can have an interesting set of reports. And if you spend more time, you can make it really pop. So that's managed. How you managed time using either the simple newsfeed tasks, all tasks in one place, which is available as part of your newsfeed experience. You could use a timesheet if you want to manage. Or use a very rich set of reports, which are localized, and keep track of what's going on. Christoph, back to you.
Thank you, Pradeep. And some of you might say, Pradeep, what are you talking about? Christoph didn't show this. It's because he's talking to another session I just delivered before this one, where I did some of those demos. So the call to action is watch the other session that got recorded that was right before that. OK, so like I mentioned in the intro, we've shown you can create, select, plan, and manage. And I also said, wait, there is more. And I show you that little icon right there on the carousel called apps.
So obviously, we got quite a bit out of the box, very easy to do. But we also realized, especially in the project portfolio management, which is very methodology-driven, very specific on verticals, regions, et cetera, and we've got an app model like SharePoint because we're a SharePoint app. And you can easily either get PPM app built that potentially could take you from 0 to 60 or 0 to 100, whether you drive in miles or in metric. But you go to our app store. This is live data. Now you can filter all the app, and basically you click on the project management, and you're seeing that there's already innovation from some of our partners. It looks like there's a risk chart that I can purchase. There's a time tracking app that lights up the out-of-the-box capability. It looks like there's a milestone trend analysis. In a couple clicks, I can put that app in Project Online, I can put that app in Online, and I can hit the ground running even faster than I ever did before. But wait, there is more. And I'm going to go back to my site, and maybe it's not just about great innovation that's delivered by the ecosystem. Maybe I've also built some apps. And in SharePoint 2013, for instance, we've created an app. In this case, it was an intern back in Redmond, and they created what we call a task board app. What is this app about? Actually, I'm still logging as Pradeep. It's the Agile team. Sorry? Yeah, it's all in the cloud. Pradeep and I at the project conference with a mustache. And that team's agile team, and again, they do and manage work a different way. What does this app do, which is not an external app, it's an app I've built on my intranet. I can very easily, I apologize for the picture, but I can assign work and reshuffle things and say, you do this, so we'd have pretty pictures. If my demo was behaving, and I can do this over and over, I can color tasks, I can add tasks, etc., etc. All this information gets stored in a task list. All the information in a task list is tied to my PMO. We've closed the loop. If a team wants to manage work different way, different methodologies, but in the end, it's all connected. So I can make decisions whether I've got enough capacity, whether everyone's delivering on time, I'm on top of things near real time. Let's wrap up. Let's go back to the deck. My clicker. So we've demoed create, select, plan, and manage. What are the next steps? It's only day one of the conference, but guess what? There's plenty of other sessions. We've done three today. First one was delivered by Heather on the desktop. So if you want to learn some of the great innovation we did on the desktop, if you're an experienced project manager or the accidental project manager, there's a lot of things we did. But there's a ton more content, whether it's BI, whether it's demand management, whether it's technical, developers, how to build an app, or IT pro, you want to understand how much better is the on-premises product. The other thing I want to say is we got a booth. We're giving out USB keys. I still have a few in my bag if you want one. And then we'll be at Ask the Experts. Ask questions. Come and see us. You got all the engineering team that have been baking what you just saw, so pick their brain. And we also have a lot of experts from the industry. And come and see us at the booth. Come and see us at Ask the Experts. In summary, we just launched a new project on premise. We also have a service. Try it. It's free. It only takes 10 minutes to provision a tenant in online. And very quickly, if you know what a timesheet is, you can hit the ground running and do some of those demos and say, oh, I get it now, how you do this. And I get, more importantly, how much value it's going to bring to my team. Ready yourself. Like with any release, obviously, I'm preaching to the choir because you made the effort to come to SharePoint Conference. But there's a ton of content out there, and it's a journey. Yes, we're going to have white papers on how to do demand management. Yes, we're going to have white papers to help you go from on-prem to online. Yes, we're going to have white papers to migrate from on-prem to on-prem. Yes, we're going to have white paper on how to do customization. There's some for everyone in the room, whether you're technical, IT pro, or dev. And the third thing, before I take questions, is spread the love. Go back to the office. Tell your CIO. Tell your PMO director. Tell your friends in finance. Tell your wife. Tell your husband. Tell your kids. Everyone should be using a task list. They can do things on mobile device.
It's a new world, right? We all love to manage stuff, right? You can track all the things you want to do for your wife, your kids, etc., in one single user interface. And then, you know, I joke about that, but also, I'm serious, is I do think we've got a strong offer. Obviously, I work for Microsoft, so I'm a little biased, but I do think this is a very strong release. Yes, there's alternative out there, on-premise, online. I do think the better together with Exchange, Link, all that thing, and we didn't even show you everything we deliver in this release, we think it's a very unique release that hopefully will bring lots of value in any part of the organization. So definitely look at it, consider it, so at least you can make a decision on what on this platform versus competitors. Before I close off, don't forget to fill in your evaluations. You can win some cool devices. And again, on behalf of Pradeep and myself, thanks for coming this late in the day. Thanks for sticking around for the 75 minutes. And we're just done right on time, and we'll be taking questions. Thank you very much. Questions? So online, free of charge, and it's called Preview, but it's the RTM product. So if you had installed Project Server on-premise, you would get the same UI, obviously, except for the 365 banner. If you get the RTM bits, that maybe you get an MSDN subscription, you install it, you'll get the same user interface. So signing up for the Preview tenant, it takes 10 minutes on our Preview site. Let me show you the link. You go to project.com. And here's our preview site, which is the link. You click on this button. You fill in your first name, last name. In 10 minutes, you got Project Online in the cloud, wherever you want, Singapore, wherever. Oh, sorry, I didn't switch. Here we go. So TFS, Project TFS 2012 that shipped in September integrates with Project Server 2013. It integrates with Project Server 2010. It integrates with Project Server 2007. So if you're TFS 2010 and you want to connect to Project Server 2013, you're going to have to upgrade to the new TFS that shipped 2 months ago to connect to Project Server. So the question is, how about the services? I can't comment about the future. Right now, the integration is on-prem to on-prem. So TFS on-prem, Project Server on-prem. Any other questions? Yes. So the question is about licensing. Again, my call to action is talk to your licensing specialist. You know, some people have different flavor. They have volume licensing. At the end of the day, yes, you need to be licensed. Is it an on-prem license? You have a software assurance, so you're entitled to the new version. You have an enterprise-wide 365. You know, we're definitely going to monetize on all the model. In an online world, it's very different because you pay per month per user. You grow, you only have 5 people today, and tomorrow you acquire a company 500, you pay as you go, per user per month. Transparent, flexible. Someone leaves the PMO, you don't have to pay for that license, right? So obviously there's pros and cons, and to really get the true answer on how much it's going to cost you based on where starting line you are in terms of Microsoft licenses, go talk to your Microsoft representative. If you still have questions, I'll give you my business card, and I can definitely help you. Yes. No. So the question is prioritization. How do we calculate that? I can give you my business card. It is one of the MVP that wrote an entire white paper on the math behind that. That's published. The prioritization percentage is actually. Remember when I show you fill in a form, you say this ID is going to help with, is going to have a strong impact, medium impact, large impact on employee satisfaction. So you get that. Each of those initiatives, we've already done what we call a prioritization. We say improve employee satisfaction is this important, but penetrate new market is even more important. So we've already prioritized things on wherever we are. You can prioritize things for the IT, but you can prioritize against Contoso. You can mix and match, and we calculate what you capture at each ID times that prioritization that we derive, and that's how we come up with that composite score. Again, we got a white paper that gives you all the math behind it. So you've done it Yes, absolutely. I was showing you a model on cost, but it's not just one real number. It could be cost and risk, and it could be cost, risk, and whatever, the weather in Seattle. And you can mix and match and do composite score. I mean, we can go all day on the math, on the the modeling. And again, we've documented that white paper that goes and explains all the math behind it.
Here, modify.
Yeah, you can modify here. And you see,
add
here
anything you want.
Yeah, you can do it on return on investment. So here we've only modeled three, but you could have a dozen. So you can go very, very far if that's what you need to do. So if I understand the question directly, you want to do, from a reporting perspective, you want to aggregate data maybe at a higher programs or work package or activities, whatever is the level. And yes, you can do that, I mean, using Excel.
So let's take it offline. It needs a little bit more detail of exactly what you want to do. More than happy to answer offline. Oh, OK, sounds good. Any other questions?
I think there was one back there, the gentleman back there. Yeah, yeah. So the question is, can a team be a resource? Absolutely. And that's a lot of service organizations where they put a team, and then sometimes they substitute, so they know they need a team of engineer or on-call engineer for a specific task. This is not new in 2013, though. We've had that for many versions.
There is a concept called team resources, and you can do that. Yeah.
Yeah, so the question is, have you seen that in service organization, in particular consulting organization? And on Thursday, another program manager is going to talk about how different team at Microsoft has been dogfooding this. And one of those team is Microsoft Consulting Services. But some of the IT organizations actually behave like services, the mature IT org, where they need to know every day, every hour, because in the mature IT org, I mean, don't want to offend anyone, typically they do chargeback. So they really need to know, did Pradeep work from 9 to 5? Because that's when billing rate to the marketing team he's working on, versus working on the weekend. And so it's very similar, where you're going to track it. Instead of doing an external bill, you're going to be an invoice, you're charging back the different businesses. Again, if you go to Microsoft.com/project, there's all the customer case studies that have been published, and you know, I haven't seen one on service organizations, but if you still have questions, shoot us an email,
yeah,
and we can get you on the right track.
Yes.
Yeah, so the question is, how about sample data? And similar to every other release, we're going to give you sample data, exactly like we showed you. It's just not ready for prime time. We're still testing it. Bottom line is, what I joke to everyone is, before we had a data pump, which we're going to ship, which we'll be able to populate either on-premise or online, it actually only took a couple hours for a marketing guy to create a workflow, create a select plan, and manage. It's so easy. And yes, it's great. Kudos to you for installing the on-prem online. It only takes 10 minutes to get started, and it's free. And then I can work anywhere with SharePoint Designer, Excel. So, it doesn't get faster than that.
I mean, I would recommend, for example, if you have some MPP files just to get started until maybe the data pump is available, just upload a few of your MPP files, which will be a good place to start at least. Keep going. Got it. Got it. We'll stick around.
Anyway,
while
you're thinking,
we'll
this
around.
Is the blog from my colleague that owns Readiness and Partners Worldwide. And this is where the new demo data set is going to be announced. Jay Callis, we get the links, and you can look at it. There's also a lot more slides. So I think we're going to be around. It's good to see the excitement. So come and see us.
And
we'll stop the mic, stop the recording. And if you got any more questions, come see us now, or definitely come and see us for the rest of the week. And I will see you at Club SPC and whatever other parties tonight.
Excellent. Thank you.